this morning. We're going to continue in our month of with the mission emphasis, and we have a couple things this morning I'm excited about. We got some gentlemen here from Gideon's International. And so, guys, you don't know, but I've been preaching on the life of Gideon, and last week I told him Gideon was going to be here. So we're close to that, right? But I'm excited about I've got to know a couple of these guys, Randy and John, in this last year or so, and spent some time listening to them and find out what Gideon's is doing. And I know many of you have probably are familiar with them, but we thought we'd have them come this morning and share with you about what Gideon's about and what they're doing. And so I'm going to have Randy come up, Randy Baxter. I'll let him introduce the other two guys with them. And thank you,
Randy. Good morning. My name is Randy Baxter. I've got John Eklund and Wayne Barber here this morning to represent the Gideons. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our ministry. John Nicholson and Samuel Hill met by chance in a hotel while on business in 1898. They soon discovered that they were both men of deep faith. And together they prayed about their desire to bring Christian businessmen together, to strengthen their faith and to share their witness when they were out traveling on business. That meeting was the seed of what eventually became known as the Gideons. 122 years later, that providential meeting has resulted in the Gideons International becoming a powerful worldwide means to distribute the gospel around the world. Gideons are volunteers. Recently, one of my fellow Gideons was headed home from a pastor's banquet, and he and his wife decided to stop and get some coffee on the way home. When they went into the coffee shop, they saw Tiffany, who was working behind the counter, and Craig offered her a testament like this one. Well, Tiffany said, you know, my dad's a pastor. We got lots of Bibles at home. But another employee, Ivy, who was standing close by, said, well, I'll take it. So Craig opened the Bible to the front and showed her the help section. And then he asked her, how certain are you that you're going to heaven? You know, Ivy was pretty sure because she's a good person. So Craig opened to the back of the Testament where the plan of salvation is laid out. He went through the scriptures with her. And when they finished, she said she would like to accept Christ into her life. Well, Craig and his wife, Debbie, joined Ivy as she prayed there at the counter in the coffee shop and received Christ into her heart. And what began as a simple decision between regular or decaf ended in an order of God's grace for Ivy. Not only are Gideons ready to share the gospel, but we go out of our way looking for opportunities to do so. Places like the Western Idaho State Fair, BSU, local schools, prisons, medical centers, the military, and of course, hotels. Last year, we distributed 13,000 scriptures in Treasure Valley alone, each one an opportunity to change a life. During a recent scripture distribution in the public schools in Malaysia, one of our Gideons was excited to see a life touched by God's word. A student reluctantly accepted a testament from him and then said, why are you doing this? Why are you giving out books? So he shared about the ministry of the Gideons and said, you know, take that testament home and read it. Well, while dozens of other students came forward to gladly receive their free gift, that student walked away. But a few minutes later, he came back and once again he said, why are you doing this? Why are you giving out free books? So the Gideon shared with him the gospel that we are all sinners, but we can receive forgiveness and a new life through Jesus Christ. That student then, as Gideon shared the plan of salvation with him, he too opened his heart and accepted Christ as his Savior. Gideon volunteers, like the ones in Malaysia, serve in their own country. They know the language. They know and respect and understand the customs. They know where Bibles and testaments are most needed. Gideon volunteers are working in countries where many times traditional missionaries are not even allowed to enter. In fact, Open Doors, an organization that tracks the global persecution of Christians, recently updated their list of the 50 countries where Christianity is most persecuted. Gideons are witnessing and distributing God's word in 32 of those countries. Yosef is a Muslim who lives in Central Java, Indonesia. When he was a junior, he received a New Testament from a Gideon who came to his school. He read it clear through, cover to cover, because he wanted to compare what it said to his beliefs. You know, he hated Christianity and was very angry when he learned that a church was being built in his own village. Yosef conspired with five of his friends to burn the church before the Christians could have their Christmas celebration. To carry out his plan, he approached a young lady named Martha and volunteered to help her and others decorate the inside of the church. They worked late into the night, and being very sleepy, he decided to spend the night at the church. Well, around 2 o'clock in the morning, he awoke and realized that his friends had set the church on fire. He and the other members of the church extinguished the flames. After that incident, his heart was unsettled. And after a while, he approached Martha and the elders and told them about his part in that, how that fire started. He was perplexed that they still continued to befriend him, even though he had had a part in the plan to destroy their church. Their love was consistent with what he had read about in the New Testament. And Jesus' words in John 14:6 were recalled to his mind. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Overwhelmed by the truth of God's word, he accepted Christ into his heart. Well, Yosef was baptized. Later, he married Martha. That same year, he entered Bible college. When he graduated, he was ordained as a pastor in that same church he had had a part in starting the fire in. And today, along with his wife, Yosef is ministering in that same church. The Gideons exist for one purpose, supported by one promise. The purpose is to bring people to Christ. The promise is that every dollar that you give to this ministry through presentations like this one today go directly to the purchase and distribution of scriptures. None of what you give goes to administration or overhead. Gideons are now printing God's word in 101 languages and hand-delivering scriptures in 200 countries. In fact, 80% of the scriptures distributed by the Gideons each year are in non-English languages. Each one is distributed by one of over 257,000 Gideon volunteers worldwide. In India, where 1.3 billion people live, and the population is 79% Hindu, we recently added a 20th language, opening up the northern part of India to scripture distribution. Last year, over 1 million scriptures a month were distributed in India alone. Your support is making that possible. Through God's blessings, the Gideons have become one of the most effective, most comprehensive, and most integrated Bible distribution programs and network throughout the world. Over 2.3 billion scriptures have been distributed through the partnership of the Gideons and evangelical churches like yours in the last 122 years. But it starts with you, the Gideon Ministry of Grace Bible Church. First and foremost, with your prayers. Listen, first and foremost with your prayers that those who receive these testaments will respond to God's invitation. Secondly, for your prayers for the Gideons as they carry on this ministry in an ever-changing political environment throughout the world. Second, financial support. It is through presentations like I'm giving this morning that much of our funds are raised to carry on this ministry. This is part of your missionary outreach. And finally, If you are a business or professional man and are interested in finding out more about becoming a Gideon and having a part in distributing God's word throughout Treasure Valley and the world, see myself, John, or Wayne afterwards, and we'll be glad to give you more information. Pastor Joe, thank you for the opportunity to share about what your prayers and your support are doing to be able to bring the gospel to people throughout the world. And thank you for your attention this morning. It's a real privilege to be here.
Come on up, Alan. I forgot one. Not about you. I didn't forget anything about you. This is my... I love this guy. It's like my brother from another mother and another father, but it was my brother. I forgot to let you guys know, the Gideons have some pocket Bibles out there in the foyer, and they asked me to let you know that if you need one to share with someone, to give to someone, or you say, oh, I'd like to have one of those in my desk so that I can maybe pull it out and share the gospel with someone, they're there for you to take. They just ask that you don't take them as a novelty gift or something. But anyway, it's all yours.
Hello, hello. Me. Buenos dias. Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be with you again and a privilege to share the Word of God this morning. And again, let me just repeat what I said every time that I come. Please forgive me for what I am going to do with your language this morning. So, we spend most of our time speaking in a different language than ours, than Spanish. So we have become experts destroying different languages. So it's a shame. So best regards from the Middle East and the North Africa region. By God's grace, we still are very involved in the whole area. We are living a season in Valencia, Spain, with my son Jose. Jose is going to college. Can you believe that? He was just yesterday in kindergarten and now he's going to college. So, and we are helping him and my daughter in that stage of life. My daughter is in Germany, my son in Spain. But from Spain, we can fly to the air world sometimes in just 1 hour from Valencia to Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, and the rest of the area. So it's pretty close. So we are with our kids in that season of life. And secondly, best regard from the Christian community in Jordan and in the whole area. The gospel is growing and moving in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Hope Center, the center that you have been helping and serving now for several years, this is still growing. The composition of the refugees has been changing. We still are working with Syrian refugees. They still represent 20% of the population of Amman, Jordan, the capital city of Jordan. And they represent by large the most important community in the country. But now we have a growing presence of Sudanese people coming to the country and Somali people coming to the country. So now we have a multicolor refugee center in Amman, and we have been serving in different areas, including sewing classes, and your machines are in very good hands and serving the community. So thank you very much for that. We have included different services as well, and public confession of sins. We have Zumba classes. Do you know what Zumba is? We have Zumba classes with Sudanese ladies refugees. So, and these ladies, I have not been able to see the whole thing because I am a man, and the whole, you know, cultural obstruction between men and female. But I heard from my wife that they have fun. They took their hijabs out, covering their faces, and then Zumba with Latino taste. So, I always knew that our Latin American culture was going to be useful in God's hands. And we are bringing our Latino taste to the Muslim world in the name of Jesus. And we are so blessed for that. So, but today, besides our work with refugees and Muslims, I want to share with you another aspect of what the Lord is doing. And I want to visit with you the book of Romans. And I know that Joe and the leaders of the church already visited that book of the Bible. But I'm going to do it with you again. So in Romans 15, and it's a very famous missionary text. And it's been for me a blessing since I came to the Lord when I was very young in San Jose, Costa Rica. I'm Costa Rican by birth. Some people said that Costa Rica is the Switzerland of Latin America, and should be truth, because that's my opinion as well. It's a beautiful, tiny country. And when I was a boy, at the age of 18 years old, American missionaries came to my country for a missions conference, and they were sharing about Muslims and about the possible role of Latin Americans serving among them. And I was there with 18 years old, hearing from these American fellows about their experiences in Muslim countries. And Jesus touched my heart. And Patricia and I have been involved with Muslims since then. And it's been a lovely journey in our lives. So let's read together. Romans 15, from verse 15 to the 23. Yet, and this is easy to read English, so please forgive me. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles, nations, might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I will not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. 23 and 24, sorry. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. So as you remember, probably Paul is in Corinth, writing this letter to the Roman church, a church that he didn't know personally. Paul didn't plant the church in Rome. And he had in his hands an offering for the poor people in Jerusalem. So he was committed to take that money to Jerusalem, and maybe coming back and traveling to Spain. And Spain was the ends of the world. We used to live in Spain many years ago when we were younger than now. And at the time we were exploring, I guess I told you before that we were exploring northern Spain, northwest Spain. And there is a town called Lugo in that area. And then if you drive from Madrid to Lugo, Lugo has these big walls, Roman walls, that were signing the ends of the empire. But if you keep driving, you may come to a place called in Spanish, Cabo Finisterre, or Finisterre Cape, like Cape Town, Cape Finisterre. Finisterre in Spanish is finis terrae, end of the earth, cape of the end of the earth. So it seems like the Romans had this idea that that was the end of the earth. So in some regards, Paul was dreaming to go to the ends of the earth, to Spain. So, but this, he has this offering, and now he has written this beautiful letter to the church. And one of my professors in seminary told me, Alan, Romans is the most elaborated missionary newsletter never written before. He was responding to some of the realities of the Roman church, but at the same time, he was introducing his future plans to this church. One of the most important things and backgrounds of this letter and Paul's life was his absolute conviction about, and I'm sorry for using some strange words, but I have learned English in Boise, so basically it's your fault. Paul was totally persuaded of the uniqueness of Christ. Christ alone. So, I just love in 2 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who came himself as a ransom for all. He was totally immersed in that truth, and that was his passion in life. So, then he's introducing his ministry to them. And in the first section, he's telling them, I know that you are a pretty strong church, but let me tell you something about my journey. I have been a priest presenting the Gentiles or the nations as an offering to God. And I've been proclaiming the gospel with words and deeds. And finally, all the way around from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ to them. And what he's saying is brutal, because considering the ways of communications in that and transportation of that time, the area that he's telling us that he was preaching is enormous. Is the eastern part of the Roman Empire. And he's saying all the way around, the eastern part of the Roman Empire today has heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on he said, I have no more room in these areas. Probably new churches will be grateful with the benefit of counting with the Apostle Paul helping them. But Paul was a pioneer missionary. A frontier missionary, eager to expand the boundaries of the kingdom everywhere. So, and then Paul used his experience in order to introduce himself to the Roman church. And then he's saying, this is my contribution by signs and wonders, and through my words, I have fully proclaimed this gospel of Christ to these territories of the kingdom. This is my contribution. And I guess I shared a little bit of this before, but in some of these summaries of Paul's life, he is bringing this sense of legacy. If you explore some of these summaries of Paul, for example, in Acts 20, when he's saying, goodbye to the elders of the church in Ephesus, you have this sense that he has fulfilling what the Lord called him to do. In his case, to preach the gospel to the unreached places, to the unreached peoples of the area of the world that God called him to go. So he's saying, brothers and sisters of Rome, this is my legacy. This is my contribution. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a fire on his heart, a conviction that there's no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus. So he was expanding the boundaries of the kingdom everywhere. So legacy. Legacy. And that really inspired me when since we began in missions years ago. With this in mind, I guess it's important not just to keep talking about refugees, which is one of our passions. I'm sorry. I've been talking too much the last few weeks, as usual. But maybe it's important to hear that Muslims are coming to the kingdom like never before. More Muslims have been embracing a saving faith in Jesus Christ during the last few decades than during the previous 1,000 years. Finally, Muslims are coming. And I know what we are seeing on television, but it's just partially truth. Violent Muslims just represent some segments of the Muslim societies. The greater Muslim society is looking for something different. And this difference is just Jesus, the one that can make it. And Jesus himself is showing his presence to them, and the gospel is being preached among them in these very difficult times. But beside this, now former Muslims are organizing their own missionary efforts. And I've been sharing with my friends during the last few months, I have never imagined in my life when I was in San Jose, Costa Rica, capital of the world, center of the universe, that I was going to be involved not just reaching out refugees or reaching out Muslims, but seeing former Muslims, now born again believers in Christ Jesus, organizing their own missionary efforts. So, I was in my home in Jordan, in Amman, when one day the telephone rang, and it was a calling from Lagos, Nigeria. And Lagos is partially Christian. They have enormous Christian churches, but northern Nigeria is pretty strong Muslim. The Boko Haram terrorist group is based in northern Nigeria. But it was a brother in Christ from that country. His name is Mike Agdebele. And Mike introduced himself and he told me, Alan, this is Mike Agdebele. I am the national coordinator of the Nigerian Evangelical Missionary Movement. And somebody told me that you Latin Americans have been organizing yourself in order to deploy Latinos among Muslims in the North Africa Middle East region. Is that right? And I said, that's right. You are pretty well informed. And then he said, don't you want to come to a missions conference in Lagos? Because our churches wants to evaluate if we Nigerians can go to the Muslim world as well. Not just in Nigeria, among Muslims in West Africa, but we want to go north. And then I said, what's the name of the conference? Go North. Oh, wow, that's very original. And then I pray 5 seconds and I say yes. And then I flew to Lagos with not enough information, pretty bad planning. And I landed, and then a brother in Christ, a soldier with an AK-47, was expecting my arrival at the airport. And then I said, what's going on, brother? What kind of reception is this? And then he said, well, you know that Boko Haram has been kidnapping foreigners. I just want to protect you. And I said, well, tell Mike that that piece of information was really good to know beforehand. So I landed in Lagos, and we were driving about 45 minutes. We ended in this enormous city of West Africa with tons of churches everywhere. But then I saw a field with a big roof with chairs and chairs, and the roof was enormous. And they told me, because I was not able to count it, that they had 1 million chairs in the place. So, and I didn't have the chance to count every chair just to verify the information. So you have to believe me, because I had to believe them. But it was enormous. And they told me, we have house churches in town, but one weekend, a month, we gather the whole small church in this place. So we have about 1 million believers in this place worshiping the name of Jesus 1 weekend per month. That was amazing. And then we finally got to the conference, and they were at the beginning of the whole thing. And they said, we are going to start a conference praying for Muslims. They have this profile ethnic group information documents about the name of the people groups, Arabs from Yemen, Arabs from Morocco, Algerians, Kabylian, Berbers, and others. And they said, we are going to be praying. They start to pray at the beginning of the conference. And that was about 9 a.m. And then by 10 a.m., we were still praying. By 11, they were still praying. And by noon, they were still praying. By 1, they were still praying. And I began to pray against them in order to stop the whole thing, because they were praying and praying and praying. No, I'm joking. I was fully impressed. Well, I was saying, please, Lord, you know. So go north. During this season, my friends, then I was in the area. We live on the Mediterranean area. And once in a while, Christians gathered in Malta Island, the island that you can find in the New Testament. And that's a place where Muslim background believers and missionaries gather in a place with freedom in order to talk about discipleship, Bible, and other things. And then Brother Joseph Orame from Algeria came to us in our meeting, and then he said, God has been blessing the Kabylian Berber community. Kabylian Berbers, one of the most important ethnic groups in the North Africa region. There's some few millions of them in Algeria. And then I found that about 200,000 Kabylians are worshiping the name of Jesus now. And they were Muslim, but now they are followers and disciples of the Lord. So just a few years ago, they were saying Allahu Akbar, and now they are saying Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of the Father. That's amazing. Finally, it's happening. They are coming. But then Joseph Orami, trying to be brief, told me, Alan, what can we do in order to start an Algerian organization that helps us to send out Kabylian Berbers in order to be missionaries in the North Africa region? Former Muslims, now disciples of Jesus, wanting to send out their own missionaries throughout the Muslim world. It's a new day in missions. When I was a boy in San Jose, Patricia and I remember that, and I said this with all of my love and my respect, but to be a missionary was to be American, and American was to be a missionary. And we tend to believe that there were no room for other nationalities. So, because Americans have the money, Americans have the churches, Americans have the resources. But now suddenly, the global missionary force is more multicolored than never before. Broken English is the widest spoken language in the world. I don't feel embarrassed anymore out of the United States. It's just beautiful to hear these Arabs destroying English together with the Latino missionary force. And everybody understand everybody, I assume. So legacy. And I guess, you know, Paul is telling them, this is my legacy. I have fully proclaimed the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum. I have done. I have finished in this area of the world. We have not finished yet among Muslims. But now we are witness of the most glorious variety of missionaries that the world has never seen before. Koreans, Indians, Egyptians, Costa Ricans, Americans, Spaniards, Senegalese people dreaming to share the name of Jesus among the unreached. We still have a lot to do, 1.8 billion Muslims. And the Islamic faith is very challenging, as you know. But they are coming. And they are coming. And in God's timing, God has been preparing a new kind of missionary force. And I've been saying for years, and I guess I tell you already, and if you remember the joke, please forgive me because I'm going to repeat it. But we need you, my American friends, your entrepreneurial spirit and your capacity of planning. You know, Latin Americans are, between us, so-and-so on planning. But, and we need the prayer spirit of the South Koreans. These Koreans really pray. And we need the fiesta party attitude of Africans and Latin Americans on the field. We need everybody together preaching the gospel. So legacy. So now we are witness of what the missionary work has done during the last 200 years. And now we are entering to the next round. Hopefully during the next maybe 15 to 20 years, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be able to deploy missionary teams among every ethnic people group among Muslims. We have a lot of work to do, but we can do it in the name of the Lord. So I strongly believe that even though the news are very discouraging, sometimes God is on the move. Everywhere. Everywhere. We have found believers in the most unexpected places. In Jerusalem, because there's very few believers in Jerusalem, by the way. Or in New Delhi. Or in Rabat, Morocco. So, then, if you read with me verse 20, so Paul was introducing his legacy to the Church of Rome, and now he's saying, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. And then in 21, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah 52, saying, rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see. So, Paul is able to share a legacy because he was driven by a holy ambition. And several of the English versions use the word ambition. This has been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known yet. So he had an enormous ambition. Excuse me. Going to the unreached. I want to show you something. And let me explain something very, very fast. We are going to see a good friend of us. And he knows that we were going to share this. We are going to see Brother Omram. He is Palestinian, born in Jerusalem, but living in Jordan. He came to the Lord a few years ago, and he has been facing difficult times. He's my barber. And when you go to the Muslim world, they are amazing. They just not cut your hair, but they clean your ears for guys from your, well, leave it to know, eh? And your nose with wax and the whole thing, and it's terribly painful. But everything for the name of Jesus. And every time that they put this wax on my ear, I promise that I can see the face of the Lord in that moment. So, Omran is a Muslim, is a former Muslim who came to the Lord. Sadly, he have lost everything, family and children. He was rejected by everybody. But he's a musician and he has survived and he's faithful. And he's tender. And then I was there, we were there just 10, 12 days ago. And I was cutting my hair. And by the end of the terrible experience, I told him, can you sing for me, please? And then he sang the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Woo-hoo! Christian Arabs love to sing the Lord's Prayer. Literally, from the Bible, obviously in Arabic. And then he sang this for us. I want to share this with you. That was in his business in Amman, Jordan. Please, if you can help me. Hopefully, works okay. I'm so grateful to be a witness of the reborn of the church in Muslim lands. And they are going to join us in heaven before the throne. And we will be worshiping together with no enmities and boundaries, just worshiping Jesus. He is worthy to receive our worship from every tribe, language, and nation. The Lord is coming, my friends. So I'm sorry. I asked him, how did you come to the Lord? How was possible in this ocean of opposition? And he told me, Alan, I was in despair. Supposedly Muslims don't drink and they have not been exposed to drugs, but that's just, as it is everywhere, a lie. And then he told me one day I was just trying to kill myself, and I was navigating on my computer, and I saw a sign, a telephone saying, if you want to know something about Jesus, call to this phone. And that was a phone in Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And he called, and that was a lady, and he's a man. And then he said, sorry, is this the place where I can explore more about Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah? And this lady said, yes, but you are a woman. And then she said, yes. So, and then they began a conversation, and Omran was sharing about his life, his problems, and the vacuum. He told me, Alan, I was a fundamentalist Muslim, praying five times per day, going to the mosque every Friday, doing my duties, but I just felt a vacuum in my heart. And he was sharing this to this lady, and then this lady explained many things, and by the end of the conversation, she said, can I pray for you? And this lady, she said, Father God. And then she prayed. And she repeated the sentence, Father God, many times during her prayer. And Omram told me, Alan, I forgot completely what she prayed. When we finished our conversation, two words remain in my mind. Father God. Because as Muslims, we don't understand God as a father. And this truth that God is a father, and through Jesus Christ we have been adopted in the family of faith, was shocking in my mind for several days. And then I found a Bible that someone else gave me, and I read that Bible 100 times, and finally I laid down and I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God, came to my heart. And since then, I surrendered my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Father God. This is my ambition, to proclaim the gospel where his name is not known yet. They need to know that our Father is their Father as well. They are going to be present with us in heaven. And probably Omram is going to be leading one of the services. And finally, and I'm sorry, that's my Latin American side. He said, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, he has been working on the eastern part of the empire. And then he said, I've been dreaming to go to your side of the Roman Empire on the west. But I've been very busy on this side. But now I feel released. I'm going to Spain. So I'm going to be with you. He said in the next verse, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. So Paul was his name is very shining, or shines a lot, but he was never a lonely person. If you read the Bible, names like Timothy or Titus or Silas or Barnabas or Luke or Priscilla, Aquila, Apollos or Mark comes or capture our attention. He was a team guy. And he was tied to the church in Antioch. Actually, he returned at least twice to that church in order to tell them what greater things the Lord has done among the Gentiles. And now, in his new dream, he said, I want to go to the ends of the earth, and you Romans are going to be with me in that new endeavor. We are going to do it together. So Paul was a person of collaboration. So in different versions of the Bible, it says you are going to be assisting me or helping me or sending me. And I am not an expert on Greek, but the word is propempo. And the whole idea of the word is a kind, please forgive me, but it's a kind of togetherness. We are going to do it together, going to now to Spain. He was already a veteran missionary. He had faced difficulties in life, persecution, opposition, outside of the church, inside of the church. But he said, I have not finished yet. I want to use until the last drop of my energy in order to make the name of Jesus known everywhere. And you Romans are going to be part of the whole thing. And you, my friends of Grace Bible Church, you are part of the whole thing. You are dancing with us in the Muslim world, and I'm so grateful for that. And when Latino said dancing is literally dancing. So I want to pray together about these three words. Legacy. I have fully proclaimed the name of Jesus from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And this sense of holy ambition. This has been my ambition to preach the gospel where his name is not known yet. And thirdly, this concept of let's do it together. Collaboration, partnership. This is what Paul says to the Philippian church in chapter 1. I praise God for our partnership. The Macedonian churches were partnering with Paul on his work in the Mediterranean area. So legacy, holy ambition, and collaboration. Let's pray together to our Father God. So thank you, dear Lord, for this morning. And thank you for what you have done during the last century and few decades, bringing many to the knowledge of the kingdom from every corner of the world, including a tiny country in Central America, my little Costa Rica, and bringing people from states and from all over the world in order to preach the gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for my brother of the Gideon ministry, distributing the word in the whole world. Thank you for this purpose and holy ambitions. And thank you for the spirit of partnership and collaboration. In our prayer, we remember Omran, our friend, ex-Muslim, former Muslims, attracted to Jesus just because you are Father and God. You are Abba, Daddy, Father God. So let us be together in partnership, in joy, building a legacy that just glorifies your name. In Jesus' name, amen.